Studies on Belief by Michael Olson. Foundations. We live by the word. We can believe. Life is to be abundant. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. We can do all things. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nothing is impossible. Matthew 17:19-20. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and asked him, "Why could not we expel the demon?" He said unto them, "Because of the littleness of your faith, that is, your lack of firmly relying trust. For truly I say to you, if you have faith, that is living, like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to yonder place,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Path to Success. Matthew 4:4. But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Psalm 19:105-130-160. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever."
Salvation. Our Bible is full of incredible faith-based cause and effect principles, only waiting to be applied by a believer's faith. When activated by faith, they cause change to a believer's life. Faith in God's promises of salvation has consequences. Faith in God's promise of salvation causes the effect known as God's salvation to all who believe.
Our salvation hasn't ended. The acceptable year and time of the Lord's favor is now. Jesus is our Savior today and forever. His salvation only awaits our hearing, deciding to believe, and deciding to rely in trust and faith that what God has promised, He will be faithful to perform. If some specific aspect of God's salvation are not understood as believable, such that they are not relied upon as worthy of trust, rejected aspects cannot be experienced, for salvation comes by faith. We may act like we believe, but until the word is understood and held within the heart as the most true and favored for application to life's needs, the heart does not rely upon it. If we are not in faith of God's words when we pursue something, that pursuit is without the faith-based promised effects that could apply if it were pursued in faith that God would fulfill His promise in respect to it. If a belief is not relied upon, there is no faith in it. Without faith in any aspect of God's salvation, there is no promised effects in that aspect of salvation. But we have the glorious promise. In faith of God's life, life is abundant. Abundant life in the Word. We can begin today to get acquainted, to learn, to develop wisdom in it, until the word naturally flows forth from an abundance within our heart. When established the most dominant in the heart, God's promises become the basis of every action. It becomes what we rely upon with every pursuit we find in life. If the word is established within our hearts, we are completely equipped to rise confident we can meet every challenge in life with triumph and the victory of an abundant life. 2 Timothy 3:14-17, ESV. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been equipped with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Word of God is the foundation we build upon for attaining all aspects of God's promises by faith. These same verses identify the two most important keys that we use to build on that foundation. Notice the points highlighted in the Amplified Version. 2 Timothy 3:14-15, Amplified. But as for you, continue to hold to the things that you have learned and of which you are convinced, knowing from whom you learned them, and how from your childhood you have had a knowledge of and been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you and give you the understanding for salvation, which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, through the leaning of the entire human personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. The keys are hold, that is, to persist with keeping it within the heart, and to understanding for salvation. The Word contains the understanding we need to hold to enjoy our salvation. Decide to commit, keep, and understand. Decide this day to believe and commit to rely upon His Word for obtaining the salvation effects He describes. There is no question of God's will. God desires all to be saved. His salvation is for all, and all aspects of His salvation are for all. Romans 2:10-11, NASB. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. 1 Timothy 2:3-4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4, Amplified. Who wishes all men to be saved, and increasingly to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth. How long will this people be halted between opposing opinions? In faith believing, we have the promise. We qualify for all His promises, which certainly includes all aspects of His salvation. In faith, we are promised all His promises that are described as based upon fulfilling a requirement of righteousness, being in right standing to receive any promise that has a requirement of merit.
Romans 5:18-19, Amplified. So one man's act of righteousness leads to acquittal and right standing with God and life for all men. For just as by one man's disobedience, failing to hear, heedlessness, and carelessness, the many were constituted sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be constituted righteous, made acceptable to God, brought into right standing with Him. Remember, too, 2 Corinthians 1:20-22. My paraphrased version. The promises of each and every one of all His promises are included in His salvation, received by faith, reliant trust, that by His Word, yes, we are qualified, yes, we have fulfilled the requirement, yes, we are established as merited by God's grace, unmerited favor. And God's response is, yes, I will, yes, you can, yes, you have salvation in Christ. Yet, there is something we have to do in faith, and to stay in faith, overcome doubt and unbelief, so we are victorious in life. While I say we have to do something, I'm not saying we need to merit God's gift of grace. Rather, we have to receive it. We have to simply receive His gift by our belief that what is promised is received as promised. faith is now. Today is the day of your salvation. We must commit our whole hearts to believing and accepting and keeping our faith in His promises as the Holy Spirit of truth reveals their understanding within our hearts and minds. If God's Word says, I am saved, I am. Whatever God's Word says I am, I am. If God's Word says we have it, we do. If God's Word says we can do it, we can. If God's Word says it, it means what it says. If God said it, that settles it. He means what He says and says what He means. 1 John 5, 1-5, Amplified. Everyone who believes, adheres to, trusts, and relies on the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, is a born-again child of God. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of Him, His offspring. By this we come to know, recognize, and understand that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commands, orders, charges, when we keep His ordinances and are mindful of His precepts and His teaching. For the true love of God is this, that we do His commands, keep His ordinances, and are mindful of His precepts and teachings. And these orders of His are not irksome, burdensome, oppressive, or grievous. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Who is it that is victorious over, that conquers the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on that fact. While salvation includes good news for obtaining an abundantly fulfilling and victorious life in Christ, many simply don't know how to hold on and keep to their initial decision to believe and accept God's promises of salvation to the extent of living the abundant and victorious life. Today, I know many would-be believers that hear and understand the words of God's promise. Yet they struggle with indecision and doubt, not knowing how to believe and keep their belief unto the receiving of each and every one of God's promises of salvation. To this end, let us turn to understanding how we can believe. Can we believe? Before we know if we can, we must first know what it means to believe. Straight away, asking if we can tells us the word believe is an action word, something that can be done or performed, known in English as a verb. Believe is a physical act of self. Or if you prefer, a physical act one's self can do or perform. All acts and activities are actions that begin with the self mentally concluding a decision of intention to change, reposition, or move in relation to one's current position. Verbs describe actions for transitioning or changing positions of an object-subject. In the case of a believe activity, a person acts upon a subject belief. A belief is an idea, concept, precept, or principle describing reality or the characteristics of reality. A believe activity concludes a decision or intention to change, reposition, or move from one's currently held beliefs to a new set of beliefs describing reality or the characteristics of reality. A believe action intends a transition from the current body of beliefs to a new body of beliefs, adding the latest decided belief to the body of beliefs we call reality. Concepts that we have concluded a decision and intention to believe are adopted as true of reality. If we believe them, we call them our truth or truths, whether they correctly describe reality or not. Each decided belief adds to the ever-increasing body of beliefs a believer holds true as accurately describing his view of reality. Truth. In this study,
I primarily want to confine my use of the word truth to that which is established as believed by an observer, not the more general concept of truth, that is, what is true of reality in general, regardless whether recognized by an individual or not. What a believer decides is true is a believer's truth, whether correctly identified, consistent with the whole of reality or not. Only the observer can decide what he believes as true and the truth he will rely upon in life. I am not here attempting to suggest an individual can make his own truth to live by. Rather, I am wanting to make the point, only the observer decides what is truth of what he or she hears. Only an individual's decision can establish what is believed true of concepts, precepts, or principles that describe reality. When we as individuals decide to believe a concept, precept, or principle true of reality, we establish our beliefs. These beliefs are called a believer's truth, whether accurate of our fuller reality or not. Causality and locality beliefs. Why does this matter? All beliefs describe characteristics of objects in relationship within our reality. How we relate in our relationships determines the quality of what we experience, determines the quality of our lives. All our relationships are affected by what we do because all objects have characteristics of causality. All actions have consequences affecting objects within reality. All objects in relationship have characteristic aspects that we describe as being in cause and effect relationship. One object can affect or cause an effect to manifest in another object by acting to invoke the cause by action. All faith-based beliefs are causality beliefs. Faith-based beliefs, when acted upon with faith, cause effects. Objects also have characteristics of locality. That is, all related objects in relationship have localities described as having a place in time and space. Only faith-based beliefs can cause non-local effects to appear or manifest locality. Quality of life. When it comes to quality of life, what a person believes as true makes a huge difference in the quality of life experienced. All actions have consequences because all actions cause effects. The pursuit of quality life effects is what drives all the acts we perform. The pursuit of desired effects drives all actions we take. Life is the sum total of all our actions. It isn't considered over until one is no longer performing actions that affect effects. We aren't considered dead till the heart and brain stop so that we cease affecting effects by manipulating actions to cause effect changes. We pursue an abundant life effect by seeking to apply the actions that affect cause the desired effects to be experienced. We choose which beliefs to act upon in order to affect the effects we desire. When correct beliefs are applied, they cause or affect our experiencing the effect desired. True beliefs correctly applied cause effects. That is, true beliefs when acted or relied upon affect the quality of our life experience. We only want to act upon accurate cause and effect statements of reality so that we can reliably obtain the effects we desire from the actions we believe will invoke the cause.
Collaborating references.
To establish truth, we typically look for collaborating references sufficient to conclude the new concept, precept, or principle is true and consistent with all we know of reality. We look for proofs of truth in directly experienced references and inferred references.
Directly experienced references are events that are sensed, as in seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling. When deciding if we believe in a cause-effect principle, Our direct references are those that we see the effects of invoking the cause by action. We say our direct references corroborate the truth of a cause-effect principle when we can sense the effect after acting in reliance of the belief. Only a decision. As children without direct experience, we adopt beliefs of parents, elders, and others we consider wise and experienced. I call these inferred references. Inferred references are not direct experience proof. They are statements of others' beliefs that we deem authoritative and credible, accurately describing the cause and effect relationship belief that, if relied upon, will allow us to enjoy the desired good life effects. To the extent our parents taught us true principle and that we relied upon them, most of us have needed but little else to live satisfying and fulfilling lives. Many live full action-packed lives without ever needing to decide new beliefs beyond those first established by the credibility and authority of parents. Many are taught by parents that we can trust and rely upon Scripture as the Word of God's truth. Some are taught to keep those words as truth, living by them in faith they are reliable. Some fortunate ones have even experienced prayers of faith, relying upon those words to invoke miraculous aspects of God's offer of relationship. Hopefully, our early adopted beliefs establish the only foundations we need for living the quality lives our Creator intended. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amplified. Train up a child in the way he should go, and in keeping with his individual gift or bent, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. As we get older, we become more independent and seek to improve upon our beliefs. Not that we seek to prove our parents wrong. We recognize we can improve our beliefs through gaining better understanding of the subtleties and finer details observable from our expanded individual perspectives. During these phases, we discover there are other authorities competing for our trust, seeking to prove to us that they can be relied upon for establishing our beliefs. During these times, our parents hope we as children perfected our trust in God over others for dealing with those concepts, precepts, and principles that conflict. To the extent we establish we believe particular authorities more credible, if we establish greater credibility in their words than our own experiences, we decide to believe and rely upon their beliefs over ours. The key to establishing truth of others' beliefs is credibility, measured in terms of certainty. The certainty we have that a so-called expert is credible helps us decide if we can trust and rely upon them in deciding the truth of what they say we should believe. We now have two belief decisions involved. Is the expert credible? And is what they say truth? Turning one belief question into two sounds like we've made the process of believing more complicated. In actuality, most that look to experts for establishing what is true only make the first decision and generalize the second. If the highly credible expert says it, that settles it. Whatever they say is believed. If that expert says it, what they say is true. Once we decide an expert highly credible, we generalize about everything they tell us. Our process for establishing truth is simplified once we decide we have little preference for our own ideas and decide to accept others' references more highly valued than our own experience-based collaborative references. It's all about how we perceive our reality as our minds mature and our perception and ranking of most valued preferences are clarified. Do we rank our preference toward others' credibility higher than our own ideas and those we once accepted as our experts? All this is going on as we grow up and progress beyond accepting the beliefs of our parents in full faith. As we decide to listen to others, our attitudes of commitment to former beliefs determine how we evaluate new ideas and view the opinions of others. Our belief that some truths are absolute and our commitment to keep and defend those principles actually keep us from falling for forming conclusions in the face of confusions introduced by experts seeking to break down our beliefs in absolute truths. Once we stop believing in absolute truths, they can introduce any social idea that serves them better. When we decide to allow others' beliefs to become our own, we rank our assessment of their credibility and authority against the credibility we feel for our own direct references. When we have conflicting positions between authorities and ourselves, our decisions become very subjective, often becoming subject to mere personal preferences and emotional feelings arising from confusion of new ideas contradicting our current beliefs and positive or negative attitudes of perception toward ourselves, parents, new so-called experts, and how our peers are responding. In any case, until we ultimately decide one belief over all, we are confused, double-minded, and halted in indecision. Conflicted by wanting to believe more than one idea, we are unable to take any reliant action. And if we do act in such a state, we're unstable and easily persuaded to stop or change pursuit of the effect sought. That is, when we consider the corroborating references in support of concluding a decision on which of the conflicting ideas we consider true, we must decide which of our conflicting authorities or ourselves provide us with the greatest degree of certainty in deciding our conclusion. Only after deciding among competing ideas can we identify the belief to rely upon with sufficient certainty. We commit to seeing our action through to obtaining our desired effect. While this may sound overwhelming, our minds are so powerful. Most of this is done in moments within our subconscious. If we remain in uncertainty, we easily give up any action, if even we act at all. Battleground of faith. The battleground of the fight over conflicting beliefs is the mind. The fight is to establish which belief will win the mind's decision. The good fight of faith is the same fight. Faith fights to win the mind in establishing which belief will be relied upon. The belief that wins the mind's highest trust and commitment to be relied upon when action is to be taken wins the mind's devotion and commitment. It wins the faith fight. The mind is the prize as it determines what will be relied upon in faith. The winning belief captures the mind that directs the will to act upon the cause most believed able of affecting the quality of life effect sought. Our God wants our hearts and minds devoted to Him, nothing less. If God's beliefs are Lord in our lives, God lives within our lives. The thief acts to negate that. If the deceiver can get us to limit our beliefs to those that work without involving God's Word and Holy Spirit, he has succeeded in frustrating our Lord Jesus. Who is Lord? The winning of the mind is Lord over the person whose life is determined by it. He who determines the mind's belief is Lord. The authority that establishes the beliefs we live by is Lord, regardless of who we think is Lord or who we may say is our Lord. Actions always speak louder than words. Even though words may come from the abundance of the heart, actions are a more sure reflection of what is abundant within the heart, because actions take more reliance than mere words. All actions are taken in reliance of some belief. Words and thoughts can be spoken with very little reliance or dependence upon what is spoken being true. The question that determines who is truly Lord is, whose beliefs do we live by? The acts a person takes is a better indication of what is believed than what the mind says or thinks it believes. If you recognize your actions are inconsistent with what you think you believe or want to believe on a subject, you can be quite confident what you think is not believed as credible as the belief reflected in your actions. When there is an opportunity to apply a belief in order to obtain a given desired effect, the action taken, and more specifically the intent in taking the action, reveals which belief is believed most credible. Even if two beliefs from two different authors are both believed to cause the same effect, only one belief is ultimately relied upon and trusted when action is taken. Example, I may have a person of low esteemed credibility tell me they will give me some promised effect. I may have a second person of highly esteemed credibility promise me the same thing. Even if the action required of both is the same, it is the belief in the second promise that gets believed and acted upon from the abundance of the heart. When it comes to knowing your heart, of the two, actions and intent behind them are the more reliable indication of what is truly believed, most credible, and most highly valued for obtaining the desired effect. Because the mind focuses upon what it wills, when the mind is focused upon the word, it may think it believes. It may even decide the word focused upon is true. But until the mind commits the heart, the whole heart, to trust, rely, and keep the word as truth, and reject that which is contrary to it, the word heard or decided true is still only an idea, thought, or intention to believe. Only when a decided belief is acted upon in reliance is faith revealed. When acted upon, the belief relied upon is revealed in the intent underlying the act. Of course, intent is only clear to the mind of the actor committing the intention to act. The focus of the mind and the decision to believe is only an intention, only the beginning of what gets established as most abundant within the heart. Faith doesn't appear until the mind commits to trust and rely upon the belief in committing the intention to act in reliance. Even so, the belief doesn't take the position of greatest abundance within the heart until the person wholly commits to keep and defend that belief as the most valued and reliable. These last acts are known as the good fight of faith, and they change the nature of the person that so keeps them. The expert that established the beliefs most abundant within the heart is Lord over the life of the word keeper. It can now be understood how the Lord can make this promise. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish and it will be done for you. Only after a belief is kept and defended against all competing ideas does it become predominant within the heart. Only when Jesus' words abide abundantly within is the author Jesus Lord. When the need arises to obtain or defend some highly valued life aspect described as the subject or effect promised by the Lord's word believed, the belief is impulsively acted upon in taking action to affect the cause believed able of producing the desired effect. Those acts of faith obtain the promise. We may have a desire and an intention to believe God's word of promise, but until it gets established as the most credible, such that the heart relies upon it first to obtain the promise, the word is not established as most abundant of the heart. A renewal of belief and recommitment to keep it as the truth to live by is needed. To establish abundance of heart, commit every action only after first reflecting upon which of the promises of God address the desired effect sought. Only take action committed in reliance of his promise. Take actions only that rely upon some word of God's promise to affect the cause that will produce the effect desired. Psalm 37. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Whichever Lord is found in abundance within the heart identifies who is Lord. The question is, whose beliefs manifest when action is needed? Is it the beliefs of the Lord you want to serve, or beliefs of another that rules your heart? If your acts, intentions don't show reliance upon Jesus' word relied upon, renew your commitment to keep his word and remember to only acknowledge the Lord in any and all your ways. To establish Jesus as Lord requires only a decision to believe and a commitment to rely upon and keep the word always when deciding which beliefs will be relied upon to meet the challenges of life. Start by renewing your faith in John chapters 14 through 17. With the mind of Christ, you can be trusted. The Lord of our Bible seeks to capture our minds for the good of all his creation. This is evident by his words in Scripture. God highly prizes your individual and unique perspective on what makes an abundant life. In faith of his higher reality perspective and desire of personal relationship with you, he trusts that when you are established in Christ, your desires are his. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. If God trusts you that much, if he is that sure of the effects his word will have upon your heart, can you decide to trust his trust in you? Can you decide to trust the heart he gives you to know what is good to desire? It only takes a decision to believe and commit reliance upon the incredible trust he has in you, as shown in that verse. Will you keep that word to rely upon in deciding the actions you will take in life? God is confident your desires are his, because when you accept, welcome, and admit his word into your heart, you abide in and keep his word, and his word abides in and keeps you, for he is within you. You know his spirit, desires, and even the secret, most secret petitions he has for you, for these cause you to have the mind of Christ.
1 Corinthians 2:14-16, Amplified. But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, meaningless nonsense to him. For who has known or understood the mind, the counsels and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. In Christ you come to know the delight of being in him, as his desires are manifest within you. They are his desires and secret petitions written within your heart. But he doesn't just give you your desires. He makes them come to pass as experience. Psalms 37:4-5, Amplified. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose each care of your load upon him. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Do you really believe that? Is Jesus your Lord if you don't? Do you really believe if you don't rely upon it when desires and needs are known and actions are decided to be taken to accomplish them? If you do not rely upon them as you take action, what are you relying upon? Who really is Lord? The world's alternative. The thief, seeking only to kill, steal, and destroy, offers nothing comparable, can only attempt to discredit our Lord's redemptive truths and threaten our lives with death and destruction if we don't follow his ideas. When we reject the principles of our Lord's greater reality, the deceiver, confined to physical reality, can only offer promises of that domain. When we reject the principles of our Lord's higher domain, we limit the effects we can seek for life to this physical domain. We confine our lives to physical principles previously defined as our physical universe was created. In case you didn't notice,
Our Lord's faith-based truths absolutely trump the world's truths. While the physical domain also depends upon faith for its operation, the world's application of faith is confined to interactions with what already exists of previously created expressions. All actions require faith, even acting on poor advice. Exercise of our Lord's beliefs, those that work by faith in our God's creative power, go beyond cause and effect principles of the physical domain to affect effects not possible solely within our physical domain. We call faith effects miraculous, as they defy what is presently commonly known as physically observable. Life's threats and opportunities.
The opportunity of a valued pursuit, or a threatened loss to what we've already obtained, is sufficient to cause all of us to take some kind of action seeking to obtain or preserve the valued effect or aspect believed affected by action. Whether a mountain of opportunity or a mountain of threat. When the goal of our desire is confronted and challenged with an obstacle, the action we take to address the challenge is determined by what we believe and which of our beliefs are esteemed most valued or effective for producing the effect we desire. The beliefs we turn to when needs arise identify who is the Lord we follow, who is the Lord we serve, who is the Lord of our life. Our choice of Lord is not established by mere words of intention. Our choice of Lord is determined with each application of belief. Each time we turn to cause a desired effect, is the word we rely upon established by the Lord we desire to serve, or another that has captivated our devotion while we were sleeping? Matthew 13:24-25 NASB. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away." The good fight of faith is a work we do to establish our belief in God's word as most abundant within our hearts. The good fight keeps his word as most dominant, the word we naturally turn to when action is needed. 1 Timothy 6:12 NASB. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6:19 Amplified. In this way, laying up for themselves the riches that endure forever as a good foundation for the future, so that they may grasp that which is life indeed. Long before the moment of need, in the good fight of faith, the Christian resists the contrary evil thoughts, unbelief, and opposing ideas, deciding the beliefs to rely upon. James 4:6-10 NASB. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Psalms 37:5 AMP. Commit your ways to the Lord. Roll and repose each care of your load on him. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident also in him, and he will bring it to pass. The Lord of our Bible has provided precepts that, when believed, perfectly meet the challenges we face. They only require our faith in his promises. God's answer to our challenges is faith, relying upon his word, that he will be faithful to perform all that he has promised. We have specific promises. If we choose to believe them when we hear them, if we choose to rely and act in reliance on them, we can speak the desires he has placed within our hearts. Our faith, relying upon his promise in speaking, will cause the needed effect. We can speak to the obstacle challenging us, even as great as a mountain. We can speak that it be removed. In faith, relying upon the promise, it is so. Our speaking affects the effect desired. The mountain of an obstacle is removed. Mark 11:22-23, Amplified. And Jesus, replying, said to them, "Have faith in God constantly. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him." However, within physical reality, if we do not apply faith in God's word to move our obstacles, we can only obtain the effects we need by applying local forces to cause the effects we need. Of these, to move the mountain requires a shovel or other presently available tool known able to physically affect the challenging obstacle. When our minds are captive to God's truth, when what we believe is determined by God's word is Lord. The author of that word is Lord. Jesus is Lord. God's abundant life and salvation from the world's challenges comes to all who believe his words and have faith in them. Enemies of faith. Unfortunately, there are those with other agendas than desiring you and I have an abundant life. Of them are found those that value your performing services for them rather than have you pursue your best good and quality of life. They manipulate ideas, knowing if they can enslave your mind's ability to establish truth, convincing you to ignore your parents and God's truth, you can be led to pursue their interests instead of yours. If these can stop you from trusting yourself, your parents, and your God, substituting trust in only their experts, they have you captive and can lead you to do whatever they want. When these capture your ability to establish truth so that you only accept their authorities, they can convince you your most effective action is the one that serves them first, if not them only. To this end, most of us were taught to suspect and reject personal thoughts, doubt personal knowings, and reject the idea of beliefs formed personally. Most were educated, they must have a teacher reveal truth, not a teaching how to personally discern and establish truth. Today, most have lost their moral compasses and ability to hear and discern truth independent of world's experts. Sadly, today, most non-Christians and Christians alike establish the beliefs they rely upon according to what they hear in mass media. Experts of mass media and public education most certainly do not teach absolute truth is to be revealed within you by a Holy Spirit. Such teaching in the world system would be immediate grounds for dismissal. A news anchor and university-trained teacher alike both have been well prepared to avoid all resemblances of religious thought as they inform and educate our people. Only taught how to eat fish but not how to catch them, a principle isn't true until an expert expresses it. Ask these what they believe on some concept you hear, don't know, haven't heard yet. These wait for doctors, lawyers, and ministers, and other so-called experts accredited with knowing as the only ones qualified for revealing truth. How will they move the mountain of challenges to life? These wait for the experts to speak, then they lament the experts' prognosis. Perverted religion. As stated above, the deceiver can only hope to discredit our Lord's gospel. Those that want to enslave your mind to do their will undermine the good news gospel of Jesus, turning salvation that sets the captives free and delivers them from bondage into a system that actually enslaves and binds them more than before they heard the so-called good news. Of these, God's good news, salvation is not to be had today. It is only an after-death reward. If you want their good news, serve today to obtain Christ's reward at death. In death, the lie will no longer prevail. In the meantime, God's would-be chosen perish for lack of keeping God's words. A good tree is known by its fruit, a bad tree also. A good news gospel of Jesus includes
a Holy Spirit of truth that reveals truth to the faithful. The sad news of false teachers demands you follow their experts. Only their experts can reveal truth. But their experts speak doom and gloom. Our Lord speaks fulfilling life. 1 John 2:20 through 27. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise he has made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Paul, quoting from Jeremiah in Hebrews 8:10 through 11, For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 16. God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The perverters of the gospel cannot accept your believing the above, as it undermines their conquest of your mind. In this study, I want to show you how you can believe the above promises. It is as simple as making informed decisions. We can establish what we believe and commit to it. We can choose to reject the experts of the Word and choose to follow the only true expert, Jesus Christ, when faith principles conflict with world's beliefs. We can decide to commit our will to rely upon the beliefs of our Lord when acts of reliance are required. We can decide and we can commit to keeping God's Word when opportunities for reliance arrive. We can adopt the discipline of renewing our faith through learning and hearing again the words of our Lord and His promises. With each hearing, we can affirm our commitments to believe and rely and keep His Word. We can adopt a discipline of keeping the Word. With every action we're about to take, ask and contemplate, what promise of the Word applies to the effect I am seeking? Then make sure that's what we're relying upon as cause for taking the action. Always determine what faith-based promise applies before acting. Then make sure you have it in mind as what you're relying upon in acting. Each of the above are acts of will. You can control your will. It's up to you. Only you decide your will. Only you decide your will to believe. Only you decide your will to commit. Only you decide your will to rely. Only you decide your will to decide to believe God's Word and commit to rely upon it. Only you decide to carry through your commitment, to act upon the Word, relying upon it, to effect what the Word says is the effect caused by the act of reliance. Only you can decide your will to make sure every action you take is committed in reliance of a faith-based belief, so that your reliance affects the cause upon which the preferred effect is promised. Only you can decide your will to not act without being in faith of God's Word. All people, whether they are science-only atheists, Jesus-only Christians, or whatever-only other types, All exercise faith when they decide to believe a precept, concept, or principle of reality and rely upon it in action. Faith is action that relies upon the belief decided true, whether based upon corroborating references found in personal experiences or found in others' beliefs. Faith manifests as you rely upon a belief in taking an action. In fact, you cannot take any action without relying upon some belief as justification for taking it. No action is ever taken without there being a cause and effect belief driving the action. With your will, choose which Lord you will serve by choosing what belief you'll act upon. With salvation, faith's promises are as near as 1, a decision to believe, and 2, a decision of firm commitment to keep to that decision in choosing what to rely upon, and choosing to only act in faith reliance in any and every matter promised of salvation by our Savior. But beware of the so-called learned of the world, such as foolishness to them. We must be on guard to reject their contradicting voices of ignorance. If we're going to keep our decision that the word is true, keep our commitment of faith, and obtain the promised effects of faith. Doubt and indecision. If you cannot decide to accept or reject someone's truth as your own, you have not decided what you believe true upon the subject. In doubt and indecision, you are constrained of ability to act upon the subject. Doubt and indecision upon a subject makes one unable to commit acts of reliance, for reliance requires a decided position. Without being able to rely, one cannot commit action upon the subject described by the concept, precept, or principle of truth in doubt. In doubt and indecision, one is also unable to commit any acts of faithful reliance. In the face of indecision, a person is halted between two or multiple opinions. Maybe it is yes, or maybe it is no. Of such undecided individuals, we reserve the double-minded metaphor for describing them. The decisions you make affect the faith you live, whether you live by God's truths as your own or someone else's as your own. Once belief is decided, your choice affects the life you live, and your life demonstrates your decisions as you act in reliance on those decisions. One belief or another, your actions always rely upon what you have decided you believe. The act of reliance upon a decided belief is called faith. Your faith is seen in the actions you take in reliance upon what you've decided is true. No one can decide what you will have faith in, for only you decide to end doubt and indecision by making the decision of what you will believe. A hearer of God's truth cannot have faith in his truth until doubt and indecision are overcome by committing to a decision to believe or not. James 1:7-8. For truly, let not such person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, decides. 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. Everyone already lives by what they believe. We have a well-established process for identifying what we believe. We are so good at it, we hardly notice what we're doing, whether we believe or disbelieve something we hear. In hardly noticing, we are making decisions when we choose to believe. When we come to faith principles, we fail to recognize the cure for doubt and unbelief is as easy as committing to an informed decision. A better way. In the scriptures quoted above, if we make God's words our truth, rely upon them, and keep these truths as our guide for interpreting and living lives, we can do all things. We have an abundant life where nothing is impossible. In 1987, I had the great pleasure of attending church at the Oasis of Love, a huge church led by John Osteen. While I only attended 3 or 4 weeks, John greatly impressed me. John would begin each service by holding up his Bible and having all in attendance repeat after him. "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do." Today, John's son, Joel, teaches, God doesn't ask you to figure it all out. He only asks you to believe. Faith doesn't depend upon our understanding how God's universe works. Faith manifests when a person decides to believe what is heard and decides to rely upon it as cause for action. Effects always result from acting in reliance of true cause and effect principles. We live by faith, which comes from hearing. Romans 1:17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith for faith, as it is written, "The righteous shall live by faith." Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Hebrews 4:2. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Faith comes from hearing the word, but not by hearing alone. Hearing must be combined with believing and reliance before faith can appear. Hearing and believing isn't faith, however. Only after hearing, deciding to believe, and relying upon it do we have faith. Faith is nothing more than the application of hearing and believing such that the belief decided is followed by an act of reliance. Faith is kind of like being pregnant. You either are or you aren't. Faith takes an act in reliance before it's called faith. Even if hearing and belief occur, if one doesn't act to conclude belief and form an attitude of reliance, there is no faith. Action must be added or combined to hearing before believing what is heard becomes faith. Faith is action based upon a belief relied upon as true. The key active actions of faith are twofold. One, deciding to believe what was heard, that it is true. Two, relying upon what is believed true with action. Every reliant action taken in response to the concluded belief is a faith action, regardless of how credible, certain, or uncertain one is of the belief. While credibility is a measure of how believable a concept is, faith is not limited to credible beliefs or incredible. Regardless of how certain, faith is concluded by reliant action taken based upon the decided belief. Examples: I may be promised some payment from a person of questionable credibility, of incredulous, doubtful character. If I decide to trust him at his word and make a loan expecting his promise of payment, it is an act of faith when I give him the loan expecting him to honor his word. I am applying faith in the belief I'll be paid as promised. When a promise is heard, I can show my faith by making the loan, but only if I believe the promise heard and make the loan, relying upon the promise. Two, likewise, we take a step of faith every time we step out of bed, expecting to stand upright, even though we've proven such faith has been well placed many times before, as we relied upon our belief and stepped out of bed. 3. Even if I have God promise, he will bless everything I put my hand to and profess I believe it. If I never put my hand to anything relying upon or expecting what's promised, the hearing and believing has failed to produce faith. In example number 1, it is not faith in the doubtful character's promise if I decide to make the loan relying upon another person's word of promise guaranteeing the loan. 4. Continuing with a variation of example number 1. If I don't believe the person of questionable credibility and incredulous, doubtful character in number 1, and if he happens to be my sister's son, if my sister asks me to loan to him, promising she will pay me if he fails, If I make the loan relying upon my sister's promise, then I haven't acted in faith of the son's promise. The money delivered to the son is not an act of faith relying upon the son's promise. The loan, when made, is an act of faith relying upon my sister's promise. Delivering the money to the son is an act of reliance upon the sister's word believed. Making the loan is an act of faith in my sister's word. Even though if I had made the loan in faith of the son, the act of faith would have appeared the same. It is not faith in the son's word when I rely upon the sister's word. Faith in God's word is not the same as faith in another's word, even though faith in either would result in the same act being performed. The promised effects of faith in God's word are not caused by faith in another's word, even if the action taken in reliance would be the same for either. God seeks your faith in him, not your ability to act like one in faith to him. In example number 3, there is a word of God that, if believed and relied upon, contains a promise God will bless everything you put your hand to. Deuteronomy 28:2-14. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your beasts, the increase of your cattle, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. The Lord shall open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain of your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. If no act of reliance is ever manifest, there is no faith in the promise. Now here's another very important distinction. It is important to distinguish between doing the acts that a person in faith relying upon the above promise would do, in contrast to the similar acts that another person not relying upon the above promise would do. If the one not acting on the word's promise works with his basket and kneading trough, or if he applies his hand to his profession like all others in the world, there is no promise in the kneading or work of the hands. The promise, cause-effect principle, is not caused by an identical act. If the act is not an act of believing the promise and relying upon it in taking the action. Relying on another belief is not the same as relying on God's cause-effect faith principle belief. Simply acting like a God's word faithful person is not acting in faith. It is not an act of reliance upon belief in God's word of promise. Mimicking a faithful person's acts does not cause the God's word promised effect. While to an outside observer, both may appear to be doing the same act, only the one relying upon the promise of God's word is acting in faith of that word. Only the one acting in faith of the promise will have his good treasury opened and blessed all the works of his hands. What's real? What's true? A truth is an idea, concept, precept, or principle that accurately interprets and describes what is observed in reality. Reality is considered the single constant by which all ideas, concepts, and principles are judged true as being in alignment and consistent with currently held reality. Truth in adjective form is true. When we have truth, we have a true concept, true precept, or true principle. It is true only when it accurately describes and aligns with all that is believed of reality. Other positions cannot be true unless they, too, consistently align with all our other truths. Contradicting concepts cannot both be true, since they cannot be in alignment with a contradicting position. Whether or not a precept, concept, or principle is true requires a conscious observing mind to decide if it aligns with what is known as true. Truth is decided by observing cooperating references sufficient to conclude the decision. The precept is consistent with all of what is already known to be true of reality. Of our cooperating references used in deciding, we accept the credibility of experts and authorities as substitutes for our own experienced references. The word true is also used as a verb, describing the process of making something consistent or bringing something into proper shape, alignment, or optimal position, such as when straightening an object like a wheel, a fence, or a wall, or a component designed to have a single optimum shape or position. It is the job of a wheelwright to true shape or align a wheel so it rolls in its optimal position, the plane perpendicular to its axle, where it is most stable and rolls without wobbling. There is only one true position that aligns with a wheel's perfect perpendicular to the axle design. A wheel that does not hold a single plane position, that holds varying positions, is unstable. The wheel cannot hold alignment with variable positions, or more than one, plane, without disturbing or disrupting the wheel's intended use, and possibly dumping the cart contents as the out-of-alignment application fails, falls apart, and breaks down. A true concept is a concept that aligns with the intended design of its subject object. In regards to quality of life, a true concept aligns with our fuller reality and the optimal abundant life. A single individual cannot hold two contradicting views to be true at the same time, whether we are talking about wheels or the abundant life in salvation. The word-believing, word-keeping person is like a wheelwright that works to make his will true and in alignment with the optimal will design. The person choosing to keep the words of God doesn't work to true a will. The word-keeping person works to true his life by aligning all his beliefs to conform with what he believes is the more accurate truth. A Christian word-keeping person works to true his beliefs, to align and conform to God's word. When the keeper's beliefs are in alignment with God's words, his life is in alignment with God's beliefs. When the keeper's life is in alignment with God's life, the keeper lives God's life. When a believer relies upon God's beliefs, God's life is lived in him. The two are true to one another. The keeper abides in the Father as the Father abides in the keeper. This they do with all that likewise keep God's word. All abide within one another, as each abides in the word of the Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ abides in all. Failing to establish God's word as true in the face of contradicting opinions doesn't change reality. It only lets the observer down so that he does not rely upon either of them. Does not abide in God's word, and God's word does not abide in him. In an observing event, a mind can hold only one position of alignment from a single point of view. Multiple perceptions may exist from one perspective, but no two perceptions of an observing mind can contradict and both remain in agreement or in alignment, because contradictions do not align with each other that cannot both align with a single reality, nor the single reality of God's life. Facts and beliefs. Beliefs are often thought of as only related to questionable descriptions of reality. To some, there is a difference between facts and beliefs. In my study of belief, I perceive no difference between 1. Facts we are certain we believe true, and 2. Ideas, concepts, and principles we have less certainty, but still believe true from all we know. Facts appear to have no contradictions. Whether we think we have incontrovertible, irrefutable facts or established truth, we establish the truth of both in the same manner. By deciding it is truly in alignment with all the rest of what we hold true of reality. The observer must base this decision upon the collected corroborating evidence in forming a conclusion that there is sufficient evidence to make an informed deciding determination. Is it true or no? After hearing or conceiving of a belief candidate, there are two primary decisions involved in believing. Does the corroborating evidence in the form of observable references, including authoritative testators, support concluding the idea, concept, or principle in agreement with all we know as true of reality? Two, is there sufficient evidence upon which to conclude the decision? I see no difference between facts and beliefs except the degree of certainty one has when establishing either are true. The process of deciding and concluding the decision of truth is the same for all beliefs, whether we end up concluding a belief so certain we call it a fact, or conclude it so uncertain we reject it or barely believe it. If we decide we believe it as true, it is a belief and a truth we can rely upon in living our lives. Certainty. The more certain we are a belief is true, the more we consider such belief is fact. Not all beliefs are facts, but all facts are beliefs, and all follow the same process for establishing truth regardless of our certainty. With fact or belief, a believing action is required of an observer before a candidate is considered true or truth. All beliefs become such only after a decision is concluded. Is it true or not? Any candidate for belief must be decided it aligns with all that we know true of reality, or such is not decided true. If supporting corroborating references are so weak, or authorities so incredible, that we cannot form a conclusive decision, the candidate is not established true, truth, or believed. An idea is either decided we are certain we have sufficient references, or we don't conclude belief. By recognizing that facts are just beliefs established as true with greater certainty, we get a better understanding of belief and the act of believing and what it takes to form stronger beliefs. Stronger beliefs are just decisions concluded with greater certainty in the deciding. The method for forming stronger beliefs is to search out the most credible references for use in concluding our decision of belief. Here again, the Christian has a great advantage. If there is something we believe contrary, we must deal with it before we can conclude new belief true with certainty. Sometimes, in order to conclude a new belief, we must decide to abandon a former idea or concept previously considered truth. If an old belief contradicts a new candidate, either the new candidate must be rejected or the former belief must be replaced. We cannot hold contradicting beliefs as each true at the same time. What we don't believe solely, we can't rely upon with certainty. Without certainty, in doubt and indecision, precepts are ineffectual.
Where there are conflicting principles, one opposed by another, each contending for belief, we take no action until deciding which to believe. If we are unable to decide which is true, we are halted between opinions, double-minded and unstable in all other actions we believe we have cause for action. This is important. If we are undecided if God's words can be relied upon, or in doubt that it can be relied upon, in any area, even if only one, it affects all areas where we need to rely upon God keeping His promise. While there may be multiple beliefs involved in ultimately deciding the actions we take, all must be in agreement and alignment before we can act upon them in reliance. We cannot be in belief that any principle we must rely upon is untrue. If we try, in regards to an essential faith-based principle, such action will be ineffective. James 1, 7-8, Amplified. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable, and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, decides. Attend to resolving once and for all any conflicting beliefs that are in contention for your heart's commitment to the Lord's Word. James 4, 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. James 5, 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. James 5, 8, Amplified. So you must be patient. Establish your hearts. Strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty. For the coming of the Lord is very near. Highly credible references eliminate contention, make stronger beliefs. By recognizing beliefs are no different from facts, except our certainty of their being true, we obtain a greater understanding of what we can do to strengthen our beliefs so we can rely upon them in faith with greater certainty. We can silence competing opinions, deciding in favor of those with greatest credibility. In view of higher credibility, we can refuse to give consideration to those of less credibility in our deciding what is true. To create stronger beliefs, we need only look upon opposing opinions with prejudice, as false statements of ignorant and purposeful liars. It is not important that we identify how, where, or why they are wrong. It is not important that we give them any consideration. If their voice opposes the belief revealed by our God, our champion, our expert of impeccable authority and credibility, their opposing voice can be rejected with totally prejudiced bias. That's what Paul told the Romans. Romans 3, 3-4, Amplified. What if some did not believe and were without faith? Does their lack of faith and their faithlessness nullify and make ineffective and void the faithfulness of God and his fidelity to his word? By no means. Let God be found true, though every human being is false and a liar. Strongest beliefs get relied upon. It is natural and reasonable. When deciding action, we always act upon our most credible and reliable of beliefs as we choose from our belief options. Where there are competing but not conflicting principles believed effective, we always rank them in order of most valued, which are believed most effective for affecting the effect we're seeking in taking action. In the spirit of efficiency, we always choose the one believed most effective for the action required. When contemplating action, we always choose the principle believed most promising or effective of affecting the effect we're desiring. We always choose the method believed most valued for obtaining the specific effect we're expecting to obtain by action. Victorious Christians work to keep God's word as the beliefs we naturally choose in every area his word speaks of. We use our will to commit his word to becoming the most abundant within our heart. With a committed heart, we cultivate the certainty of our Lord's word beliefs, so his words become our first choice when needs arise. 1 Timothy 6:19. In this way, laying up for themselves the riches that endure forever, as a good foundation for the future, so that they may grasp that which is life indeed. It is not enough that we know God's word, or even that we profess we believe, or even that we guard our words to never speak unbelief. When the times of need require action, our minds need to find his word established abundant within the heart, so they are relied upon above all others. Establishing what is most abundantly believed within our hearts is the only work of God. It is the good fight of faith by which we are victorious in life, ready for when the inevitable opportunities and challenges arise. John 6:28-29. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life of which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. 1 John 5:3-5. For the true love of God is this, that we do his commands, keep his ordinances, and are mindful of his precepts and teaching. And these orders of his are not irksome, burdensome, oppressive, or grievous. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Who is it that is victorious over, that conquers the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on that fact. Release of faith. The act of faith is not a prolonged action, something we begin one day and finish days or years later, to then have God fulfill his promise. The decision to rely and act in reliance is all there is to the act of faith. It occurs in a moment. It occurs in the moment we decide to believe and act in trust and reliance. With cause and effect principles, the act of faith in the principle that initiates the cause to affect the effect is the initial act that causes or initiates the causes that the principle states will affect, producing the effect. As we've defined faith-based principles, these affect non-local forces to affect the final effects that appear miraculous in comparison to how minor are our initiating acts of faith. Yet, regardless how minor, faith must be released. Faith cannot be overlooked, for the minor act of faith releases the full energy, might, and powerful forces of God. The initiating act of faith is the act of full reliance, of full trust. God will fulfill what he promises. That is all a believer does to release his faith, to call upon the mighty power of God. The act that releases a believer's faith is often his word, as in his true confession, or his word professing that he truly believes and is relying upon his belief God will honor it. It may be professed to others or spoken in prayer. It completes the intention to believe. It completes the intention to rely by present tense relying. Faith is a now act. If speaking, it is the word spoken that releases faith. It speaks in present tense. If the promised effect is requested of in spoken prayer, it sounds like, Father, you have promised, the faith-based promise. I've decided I believe you. I'm convinced within my heart you are faithful to fulfill that word. Relying upon that promise, I ask to receive the promised effect. Then, the spoken word releasing faith sounds like, I am convinced within my heart. I trust. I rely on your word of promise. I have the promised effect I asked for according to your promise. If more is spoken of after faith is released, it would sound like, I'm so thankful I believe. I'm so thankful you have established it firm within my heart. I am confident in trusting and relying upon you that you fulfill your word of promise. I thank you for your gift of the promised effect. I can reaffirm my faith anytime I fail to recommit and renew my resolve. God welcomes our heartfelt prayers. If spoken to another or in prayer, it sounds like, I'm so blessed, I'm so thankful, I have the promised effect, provided by your grace, promised by the word-based promise. Confident trust in God, not acting like one that is in confident trust of God. If the above sounds like a formula, like a cookbook recipe, that if you do this, you will receive, make sure you're acting in faith, not mimicking how one acts in faith. God looks at the heart to see what is truly believed and relied upon. He is not looking for people that can act like a believer. He is only looking for a few good men and women that believe him, believe his word,
trust and rely upon Him, that what He admonishes entered their heart and governs their lives as He fulfills all He promises in response. Firm in our faith. God fulfilled His word when we believed and released our faith in reliance. Faith is like planting a seed to obtain a harvest. We plant, then stand firm in our confidence. Good seed always produces a harvest. God heard us, and we have the requests made of Him. 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens to and hears us. And if, since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the requests made of Him. Luke 18:42. And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith, your trust and confidence that springs from your faith in God has healed you." 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be alert and on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Your conviction respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, keeping the trust and holy fervor born of faith and a part of it. Act like men and be courageous. Grow in strength. James 4:7. So be subject to God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. 1 Thessalonians 3:7-8. Brethren, for this reason, in spite of all our stress and crushing difficulties, we have been filled with comfort and cheer about you because of your faith, the leaning of your whole personality on God in complete trust and confidence. Because now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. Psalm 40:4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. Once we take our stand on our belief held most reliable, if we then decide to act in reliance of a second option, believed less effective, we are acting in doubt of our first act. We have withdrawn our faith's reliance. We have abandoned the reliance we thought we established at first. One either relies on one master or the other. We cannot serve a second master. Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. The second act of planting a different seed, or even the same seed a second time, for the purpose of effecting the same harvest effect initially seeded, is an act of doubt. One is either doubting they planted properly, doubting the seed was good, or in some knowledge the harvest would fail, as in knowledge an intense frost that killed the initial sprouts, or another reason causing us to believe the first harvest would fail. The replanting of faith by another act of reliance is a rejection of the initial act of reliance. If one believes they received when they asked, they believe His word, they believe they have what was promised. Why would they replant? To understand this better, ask yourself, what would I have to believe about the first planting, the initial initiating act of faith, that I would again act to replant, to reinitiate the act of faith? But if you're replanting because you're impatient or you want to hurry it up the harvest, reconsider. In physical reality, there is a period of time between seed time and harvest. This is the time to stand firm in our resolve. We planted, we'll harvest. God fulfills His word. I am not suggesting you never pray for the same thing twice. I do not want to suggest prayers are not effective. But if you're in doubt you were believing God would fulfill what you asked for, doubting whether it was provided by any promise of God's will, or doubting you were in faith when you first asked, then go resolve those issues first, and then return to offer a prayer in confidence you know the promise you are relying upon, and know the cause by which you receive the promise when you pray. Be certain you have decided you believe, and are confident you are committed to trusting and relying upon His promise when you pray. If there is any area of life that God's Word isn't the first we choose to act upon, and what we rely upon to obtain the promise, we have an area where we can work to perfect our commitment to believe and keep the Word and Jesus as Lord through reinforcing our belief by the renewal of our minds. Romans 12:2 Amplified. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Wholly committed mind and heart. Deciding to believe what is heard is more than just deciding you believe you heard something. Wholly committed means the believer has committed himself to his decision, has resolved his conclusion of what is true and what will be relied upon and trusted in the matter of what was heard. A wholly committed believer has decided to keep the word as true, guarding it through continuing to meditate upon it night and day, and to renewing the mind where it is discovered to be less than abundant within his heart. Faith is more than just a response to hearing. Faith is a response decided to intellectually believe, decided of commitment to rely upon and expect what was heard or promised. Strong faith keeps the word by guarding the heart and the mind in belief. The faith that affects salvation, faith-based principles, requires a committed response to believing what is heard, relying upon it with a commitment to keep it. Without a commitment to keep the word as believed of greatest credibility within the heart, faith weakens and may be lost, especially when under attack in the good fight of faith. Keeping the word means keeping the promise. Romans 14, 1-2. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. These are personal matters. It is often difficult to understand the intentions behind a person's actions. Are they keeping the faith or not? One cannot judge another by the circumstance we seem to find them in. The fact is, we keep God's word irrespective of the rest of humanity, whether they appear successful with their faith fight or not. Only you know your own heart. Only you, as observer of the heart, can recognize if your faith is weakening, is challenged by double-mindedness, becomes doubted or decided untrue. Aspects of salvation's promise that lose their credibility under attack become weak. Aspects of which the believer allows contradicting ideas to capture his heart and mind lose their ability to affect the life of the would-be believer regarding those aspects. When faith fails, there is loss of promise, one aspect at a time. When faith weakens and is lost on any specific aspect of salvation, having failed to guard and keep the word as true, the next opportunity where faith's promise is needed, the would-be believer, unable to believe and rely, finds himself without the promise and the experience of that aspect but a memory. I believe the weak or little faith refers to the commitment made to keep, to guard, and to hold with whole heart the belief. The word heard is true of reality, and if a word of promise, it will be fulfilled, it is expected, and kept as true within the heart. The stronger the belief, the easier it is to commit and rely. In faith, the word is believed as defining reality, whether it be a statement of present reality or a promise of a future reality. Uncertainty of belief or reliance is often defined as doubt, but doubt is not unbelief. There is no faith in unbelief, just as there is no faith without belief. In Christian faith, God's words are believed true, and its promise is true and expected with the whole heart, soul, and mind. The heart is committed to keep and guard God's word as truth. Luke 10:27. And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Acts 11:23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. Acts 11:23. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Amplified Version. When he arrived and saw the grace, favor, God was bestowing upon them, he was full of joy, and he continuously exhorted, warned, urged, and encouraged them all to cleave unto and remain faithful to and devoted to the Lord, with resolute and steady purpose of heart. Romans 10:10. For with the heart a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith, and confirms his salvation.